come out to prayer meeting yesterday, and I kind of enjoy the drive. It's only about 1 minute drive, but if I'm driving fast. But the Lord was just kind of laying something on my heart, was what's the percentages? And I was looking at our city, Thief River Falls, and I know a lot of things has changed here in the last, especially in the last year. But I said, you know, Lord, on a percentage, if you took 10,000 people, and I know that it says 85,000 or 8,500, something on that order. What if we took 10,000? And then I asked Danny, I said, well, Danny, how many people have the coronavirus here in Thief River Falls? And we all discussed that, and we figured out there was probably 50 people. How many? 52. He figured, I just guessed, not too bad, but yeah, two would be. So we looked at that, and then we looked at no deaths in Thief River Falls area, praise God. And then I looked at percentages, and of course that was kind of out the, and then the Lord said, yeah, but do you look at me? Do you look at me where I am? Do you look where I am, the great I am is? And I thought about that today, this morning. We can thank the Lord, and we have all power and authority to take and make it a good report. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't have 500 or 1,000 people with the coronavirus. In fact, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've kept us and protected us and been so good to us, Lord. We thank you for our children. We thank you for praying people that just you get out there and pray. And we always beat the percentages. We always beat the line. And, you know, we'd almost have to say 100% here in Thief River Falls. And we spread that 100%. Through this county, through this state, through this nation, we just spread the good news. Not a bad report, but the good news. And we do rebuke that spiritual force that's trying to cause chaos, trying to cause a lot of problems. And most of it's a lie from the devil. And Father, we follow your footsteps. We thank you, Lord, that 10,000 out of 10,000, we haven't lost one to the coronavirus. That's pretty cool. That's good percentages. So Father, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for those that have been battling in any way, shape, or form. We prayed yesterday, and I just felt the strength of prayer makes such a big difference. And it said the prayer of a righteous man or woman, wow, it availeth much. How much does it avail it? Much. Much. Wow. And we pray many things go on in the realms of the Holy Spirit. Many things go on because God is in control. And we release this service, we release each person, we release each family member, we release our city that we love into your hands, into your care, by the blood of Jesus Christ that has not lost its power. We release Thief River Falls and surrounding area in the love, the care, the tenderness, the mercy, the outreaching grace, saying, You are mine, you are mine, you are mine. We give you the glory, the honor, the praise this morning. Come on, let's just raise a right hand and just saying, just really stating, God, we trust in you. Our trust lies in you and everything that you have and what you're doing on the earth. We thank you, Lord, for 100%, God, not a 5% or 10%, but 100%, God. We give you the glory, the honor, the praise today. Father, we believe in the power of healing. God, we believe in the power of miracles of raising finances as we've done for this well in Africa. And God, that by fall, Danny and Linda, Linda's well will be dug and we could send people representing the kingdom and Thief River Falls and the community church to Africa to say, bless you in the name of the Lord. That's our God, amen. So praise God, we have an opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God for this time, for this season. Again, if you're wanting to do something, we're about $1,500 to the goal line, and that would be that's $10,000, so we're about $8,500 have been raised. Come on up here, Danny. He's excited.
I am excited. I'm excited because of what God is doing. And last week there was $1,000 that came through Subsplash, and we're going, who is this person? Who is this guy? And we're trying to connect the dots. Well, we saw a picture of him with one of the people with Sarah Johnson in Fergus Falls. And I thought, okay, that's the connection. But you know what? That wasn't the connection. That wasn't the connection. Earlier this summer, when we were talking about the well, he was in our service. He was in our service. Because he heard about it, God put it on his heart to give. And that just goes to show that the God that I serve, he's a big God. And he knows the desires of our hearts. And my desire is that this week we finish up this project. I want to see this project finish this week so that the $10,000 is raised, we send it off, and the well gets dug. Because I don't know how many of you went over to your water faucet this morning and turned it on. Did everybody turn on their water faucet this morning? Well, guess what? In Africa, that faucet's getting turned on. It's getting turned on. And children are no longer going to have to walk for 3 or 4 miles to get water, to get a bucket of water, to put on their head and carry it back home. They're going to be able to go to the well, turn on the faucet, and get clean water. And that's the desire of my heart, that happens in Dick's Village by fall.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the provisions for this certain deal right now. We release it into your hands. We give you the glory, Lord, wherever the finances come from. We think it's the greatest thing that's ever happened because people are just grabbing it in their hearts and their lives. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this summer. We thank you for the remodeling that went on this year. If we just look at 1 year ago, and what went on through this year, all the things that have went down. I love the entryway. For some reason, when I enter into the entryway, I really feel like, oh yeah, this is slamming. So thank you for doing all that you've done. And that's been paid in full. Thank you, Jesus. And the summer, we pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that each person would be overly and abundantly blessed by Jesus Christ and his angels, and in job situations, in finances, like just mind-blowing things. We release it upon this offering now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you in your giving. Hallelujah. If you're making a check, you can make it payable to Community Church. And we'll go from there. Well, we welcome you. Hallelujah. Why don't you don't have to get up, but why don't you look at the person next to you and at least give them a hello, and you could wave to them. David's good to see you, buddy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, this morning we are privileged and honored to have an international speaker with us that traveled all the way from 2 miles away or 3 miles away because he lives here in Thief River Falls. And truly, to tell the truth, his name is Prophet Jeffrey, maybe Flynn. And he has traveled all over the world and has done some real powerful things in the gospel. So he's going to be preaching and teaching this morning. Jeff, it's good to have you. Hope that God is mightily upon you, which I know he is. So God bless you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Amen. Well, I'm just going to do a little bit of a disclaimer just right up front because everything's good, but my computer crashed last night, so I mean, I could not get it to go. So I called Willie about it, so I put it together, but the grammar might not be perfect and dings, but I mean, the concept, it's there. So you just, at moments, I'm dyslexic, so there are going to be some words there and words not there, and that's okay.
All right.
So, but anyways, when we start out with prayer, and then what we're doing this morning too is I sent it to Jeremy because I wanted to do, it's like a slideshow almost, so then we're moving together with the concept and the idea that, so that I just feel like, you know, when you can visually see something, you internally grasp it more because that's the way we're designed. So I'm going to pray first. Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness, God. Father, I thank you for your grace. Father, I thank you that, Lord, that this morning, Lord, you're going to show up, God. Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit's going to, Father, be in our midst. I thank you, Lord, that today, God, Father, that we're going to see something that we have never seen.
Yes.
Lord, we're going to hear something, Lord, in a new way today, God. Father, that today, that something that's on the inside of us, God, that we would truly see you in a different way and something that would be awakened on the inside of us, God. Father, that we would not just walk out of here with just another message, but Lord, I pray that your word would burn in our hearts. Father, I pray today, God, that, Lord, that everything that is said would give you glory, honor, and praise. Amen. Amen. So you there, Jeremy? So we're going to be talking about the body of Christ this morning. And like I said, that I preached on this a little bit a couple months ago, but God really has been speaking to me to go a little deeper, to really just really touch on some fundamental things that I just realized even in my own life that sometimes I know I've overlooked. Because I think I should be stronger. I think I should, you know, because the word, and I know the word, and, you know, that things shouldn't impact me like they do. But you got that first slide, Jeremy? Huh? Excuse me? Well, we're looking at the body of Christ. Okay. How about the next one? Okay. So, Jeremy just pulled a few things out. So what we're going to do is we're looking at the body of Christ. So what does that mean? So, when we look at this concept of the body of Christ, it is Christ. We are embodied by Christ. So when we get saved and we get filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, it's something that lives in us now. It's something that is not just, because when I think of the body of Christ, I think of, you know, a group of people. But in the Word, it talks about when Christ comes in, he's now living inside of us. He's embodied us. And so there's two words I want to talk about. It's content and container. So what would the body be? I'm looking for. So would the body be content or container? Be the container. Exactly. So what is the container? Well, the container is the very thing that, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So what is the content? The content is Christ living on the inside of us. That's the content. So we have the container, we have the content. And so I want to look at three principles: formed, filled, and function. So in Genesis, I'm going to be reading out of Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Then God saw that the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning of the first day. So just bear with me for a minute. So in Genesis 5, it says, "Then God said, 'Let there be.'" And in 9, it's, "Then God said, 'Let the waters under the earth be gathered up.'" And in 11, "Then God said, 'Let the earth bring forth the grass and the herbs that yield the seed.'" And in 14, "Then God said, 'Let there be light into the firmament, of the heavens.'" And in 20, "Then God said, 'Let the waters abound with abundance.'" And the reason why we're reading the scriptures, if you remember, so I'm setting the stage in a sense. So what God did in the beginning is what he did. He stood back and he's, "Let there be." You know, he spoke to it. And so that's really crucial for what we're about to read. Because in 26, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle.'" But I want to really go to Genesis 2:7. "And then the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." So the first thing in creation that God did, the first thing he touched was man. God formed man from the dust of the ground. So what you'll see as we unfold through this thing is how important it is to be touched by God. How important and how it is not just important for us, it's part of our genetics. We need it. It's part of our DNA of life. And that fan is just kicking my butt up here. I might have to move that fan. Every time I turn around, it's blowing my stuff. So when God formed us, when he formed man from the dust of the ground, what was it? Was it content or container? Container. So when God breathed into his nostrils, was it content or container? It was content. When we touch, so I want to look at the pituitary gland for a minute here, because it's really an important part of, in our brain. And so the pituitary gland, when we are touched, it stimulates and it secretes a gland and secretes hormones for growth. So, I'm sorry, I'm just a little thrown off because I thought we'd have. So Jenny is just going to read. I thought it'd be up there, but it's not. So,
okay.
Just go ahead. Go ahead. So this is the...
Okay. The hypothalamus region lies inferior and anterior to the thalamus. It connects to the pituitary gland by the stalk-like fundibulum. The pituitary gland consists of an anterior and posterior lobe, which each lobe secreting different hormones in response to signals from the hypothalamus.
Yeah, all that. Yes. But it has actually, so when it secretes this certain hormone, it's actually a protein. It actually stimulates growth in the body and in the tissues. So that is how important the pituitary gland is. And the reason why we're talking about it is because, you know, we're spiritual too. We're not just physical. So when we are touched by God, something chemically happens. Because, you don't just get those feelings for nothing. I mean, all of a sudden the presence of God comes and you're just like, there's times you can't even stand. Why? Because there's certain things or all of a sudden you're overwhelmed with emotion. Something chemically is happening because of the presence of the living God. Because when you think about it, what is the percentage that we really use of our brain? Was it 10? So what's the other 90? Or whatever it is, if it's 80. What is the other? It's spiritual. It's supernatural. And so I think in these days that God is restoring back the apostles and the prophets to the church, he's really restoring back the supernatural to the church. He's really restoring back to this idea that we're more, and something happens when we get into the presence of God. That's what's so important. You know, sometimes my kids, man, they came kicking and screaming. Especially, you know, when we'd have our conferences and, you know, the only reason I'd get them to go is if Dave was there or Lynn was there, because they love them. But you know what? God always showed up. God always prophesied over them. God always did something in them to remind them of who he was in their life. So the next slide, just the picture, Jeremy. Yes. Okay. So when we are touched by God, it stimulates growth in our spiritual man. And that is why it is so important to allow God to come in and form the new thing that He's doing in our lives. Now, I pulled this off the internet because number one, I love babies and it's such a great picture. But there was this whole thing on touch. And I just really felt it was fitting. The heading before the picture is, touch is a fundamental human need. Touch is necessary for babies to develop, for their physical, emotional, and eventual social health. In fact, touch is the first of the five senses to develop. The need for positive touch is the communication and reassurance it can bring is literally in our DNA. And it goes on to say, touch comes before sight, before speech. It is the first language and the last, and will always tell the truth. We are wired for touch. Yeah, that's good. What proof? Easy. Let's take a closer look at this picture. Oh, I love babies. This baby has not been taught. She or he needs touch. In practicality, we know that this baby has not been taught to touch or to hold her mother's hand or finger, and yet the baby is naturally grasping her parents' fingers. She wasn't taught. It's just normal. She wanted to connect through physical touch. And who doesn't love to hold a baby's hand? You know, there's something about it. There's something about when you're next, you know, the baby, and then all of a sudden you put your finger, and it's funny, you put your finger by their hand, and then they wrap their little hand around your finger. And there's something about that that's just so unique and special, and it's beyond words. But in this study, it said, but what about as a function as an adult? Is touch really that important? Scientific studies have shown that touch has been decoded as a form of nonverbal communication across social divides. Touch can communicate tenderness, compassion, anger, love, gratitude, happiness, fear within seconds. So we are formed and I want us to really see how important touch is. And I guess the imagery I want to leave you with, I'm not dumb, but the imagery I want you to take you to is that you know, we're formed in the image of God, right? So the thing is every time we're going through something, if we will go back, God will touch us again. God will fill us again. God will renew us again. And I don't know about you, but I know me, there's so many times that I resist that, and I don't know why. This has been somewhat of an epiphany for me, because it's like so many times, I listen to worship, I do things, but yet, do I really run to God right away? Do I really ask Him? I say, God, I want you to, and fill me with your presence. Touch me again. Change me so that I might see you. Jeremiah 18. And this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you a message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. You know, sometimes I think God's shaping us into things that is going to be best for us. But we resist a lot of times, I think, what God is doing, and we forget that we're really that to be that moldable clay on that potter's wheel. That once again he can come in and he can rescue us, and the suddenlies can happen. And I guess the thought that keeps coming through my mind is, you know, we don't have to wait for the conference. We don't have to wait for Sunday. That we can be touched if we will surrender. If we will truly cry out to God and grab a hold of this concept. I mean, I think for me, I don't know, maybe it's not as big of an epiphany for you, but for me it was like I just saw for so long that I knew I needed God, but I never stepped in. I never really just like, you know, I do this, I do that, but yet I never just go to my knees right away. And I think that is really the imagery of, I think that God is wanting is that if we will yield, if we will be one to bow our knee, there's nothing God can't do. I mean, how many times when we actually do, how many miracles happen? How many things change? I know for me, every time something changes in me that I never thought could change, just like that. Because I finally got to the end of myself, and I finally surrendered. So God is always forming us into the new thing he's trying to do in our lives. Are you on the potter's wheel? Are you letting him shape you? I mean, that's a great question. Because we're all on the potter's wheel. Because here's the idea behind it. Because if we let him come in and shape us, then he can fill us so that we might function. We might function in the body, but function in our marriage, function as a father, function in our job. It changes everything when we see what happens when we go back to the beginning. I guess that's the revelation I've been getting, is really going back to the beginning of that when God formed us there. He's continued to. It's like every time he sees Chad, he's like, okay, Chad, come on. I knew you in your mother's womb, and now I'm bringing up the dust and I'm forming something new in you. I'm forming something that's going to change the world. I'm forming something that the gifting and calling of God that's going to wrap around your life. And he's speaking over it, and he's breathing into it. But I know in my personal life, I've stopped the breath of God. I want it, but I didn't do the things I really needed to do so that he could breathe in it. So I want to look at In Genesis 1:26, many go back to, then God said, let us make man in our image. Now that word in the Hebrew is teslahim, meaning a shadow of an original, the resemblance of an image. Resemblance of an image. And according to our likeness. Now the Hebrew word for that is dem ahuth, meaning like manner or like fashion. And with the image, there's always a reflection, like in a mirror. So when we look into that mirror and into our reflection, what are we seeing? Are we seeing content or container? Looking at the container, not the content. The likeness is a fashion or a manner. It is the container. Or the content, forgive me, the content. The content is the likeness of God. So Christ in us. So I'm gonna do a little imagery for you here. So I talked about this a little bit last time, but God gave me. So when Laith was here, you know, there was just something. He was a great guy, but there was just something a little different about that gentleman. Loved him, you know, but it was unusual, right? So I'm gonna set this down for just a sec. So that's a mirror. It's one of my daughter's mirrors. Actually, that's the one they left behind. Can you tell? But see, when we walk up and we look at our image, what are we seeing? We're just seeing the container. But really what happens a lot of times is when we look at that, we think we're seeing the whole. You know? So I was thinking of some things just to lighten this up a little bit. So like, if this was the morning and I was Jennifer Manning, I would walk up to that mirror and be like, girl, you're looking good, man. Chad is a lucky man.
Yes, he is.
Gotta make you laugh. But see, the thing is this example is this is a lot like our life. It's a little broken. You know, it's not looks very good. It's a little dirty. You know, but that doesn't matter. That's just the container. That has nothing to do with who we are. But what he saw was the likeness in us. Because I stood behind Lathan and I was like, what is this guy doing? But time after time I saw him, he would look. And he'd kind of get that look in his eyes. And he'd be looking. And then all of a sudden he'd be like, Papa. Why? Because he saw the likeness. He saw past the container and he saw in to the likeness of Christ. that's in all of us. And I'm just getting ready to wind it up, but I want you to get that picture. Because so many times we're looking at the container. We're looking at our circumstances. We're looking at everything around us. But if we would stand there and look at the likeness, at the very thing that God is on the inside of us, His is. I mean, He gave us. I mean, think about God breathed His very essence in us. His very likeness was breathed into Adam's nostrils. And so when you were formed in your mother's womb, He breathed over you again. And the likeness of Christ. Not the likeness of Jeff or Chad or Pastor Jake, but the likeness of Christ. So one of the things I want you to walk away from today is that when you look again in a mirror, you'll never look at the mirror again, same way probably, hopefully, is that you won't just look at the container. Because the container is going to lie to you. Container is going to tell you, man, you're looking old. You know? The container is going to tell you, man, you know what? You should lose some weight. But the thing is that has nothing to do. But it does have how we view ourselves. It's like when Peter accuses our behavior is the echo of what we're believing about ourselves. So the way we're thinking about ourselves is really what we're believing, what we're seeing. We're just seeing the container. But God wants us to see past that and see the content, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. So I just want to touch on the function just a little bit. So in Luke 1, 26 through 38, now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you, and blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting is this. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give you the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." So Mary was chosen by God. She was formed for such a time as this. She was betrothed, but she was still a virgin. So God chose her container to breathe his likeness in her. And she conceived, wow, she conceived the Son of God. I mean, how incredible is that? But she was highly favored. I mean, look at the imagery here. She was highly favored. I mean, so she was one that God saw that had recognized, had lived in such a way that, not that she was better than someone else, but she was a container that could house the very likeness of Christ, the very image of the Godhead. So the word conceive, I want to leave you this. So the word conceive, one of the words we get from that word, from the, that is actually Greek, is concept. So she conceived a new concept. Because no one else had been filled with the Holy Spirit to carry a baby before that, right? So when she conceived, she conceived an entirely new concept that most of the world around her would have rejected. And that's what God is always doing with us. He's conceiving and forming in us something new. And so sometimes I want to give this image, is that it's the what's the new concept? What is God conceptually doing in you? Because what happens with when you get a new conception of something, you get a new idea of something, what happens? There has to be a birth. But until we see the likeness, we're never going to step out. Because we're gonna see is the container. Well, I can't do that. I can't. There's no way I could do that. I mean, you know. But if we looked at the likeness that's on the inside of us, which is Christ, then we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So God's formed us, and God's filled us with His Spirit to function. God is always doing something new in our lives. God is always conceiving a new conception that He is forming in our lives. Because why? Because God is always trying to get us to the point of function. Because if we don't function, what happens? What happens when something doesn't function in your body? It withers away and dies. It becomes non-functional. So we're talking about the church, but we're talking about every area of your life. When something is not functioning, if we don't do something about it, death will come to it. It's just like the fig tree when Jesus said to it, He said, function. He spoke to it. I mean, He had the same breath in Him when in Genesis there where God created and when it was all formed. And it didn't function. So what did it do? He said, I cursed the ground. And that thing withered up and died. So here's what I'm hearing God say. That I really believe that in these months and ahead that God is really going to give us a new perspective and a new insight to that image of who Christ is on the inside of us. Because He's forming you. And He's always filling you. And He's always looking to that the function And I'm not just talking about in church. I'm not just talking you need to serve more, you need to do, but I mean you need to function. What is your gifting and calling? What are you doing? Are you serving people? Are you loving people? Doesn't mean it could be in your job. It could be anywhere you are, because you are the temple of God. Wherever you go, Christ goes with you. So let us pray. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for this day, God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are always, God, always pursuing us. Father, that we might fulfill the call of God in our lives. Father, you're always forming. You're always filling, Lord, so that we may function, God. God, that we might see you. God, that our hearts would be filled with compassion for the lost and the dying and the broken. But Lord, today, in the name of Jesus, I pray when we look into a mirror, God, we would see your likeness. No longer just a container that so many times is hurt and broken. And we don't know if we can even go on. But Lord, let us see your likeness, God. Let us see you, Father. That you can bring the change in our lives that we need. Today, God, I'm telling you, something's in this room this morning. The Holy Spirit's in this room. Something is shifting and changing. Wow. Father, give us eyes to see you. Lord, I break the hold of the enemy over that the vision of just our container. In the name of Jesus, I break it. And I pray, God, that you would give us visions and dreams. I just kept seeing that God's going to release visions and dreams to every one of us. Of how he sees you. How he sees you in his likeness and in his image. Wow. Oh, Jesus, please, God. Come in and rescue us, oh God. Lord, that we might function. Lord, that we would be your body, God. That we would truly embody Christ. Father, that is our desire. Father, that is our greatest hope, God. Please, God. Come in and do what you need to do. Sweep my house clean, God. That all that is left is you. And your purposes and plans. Wow. Father, we thank you, God, that you're never done with us. Until we take our last breath, God, you will pursue us. You will love us. I just see right now that in the next couple months, actually in the next month, I'm going to, because I just saw that. In the next month, you're about to see some supernatural deliverances. Some supernatural things. Some things that have been binding you up. And things that you just can't get through. But the Spirit of the living God is in this place this morning. And I'm telling you, he's breaking the hold of the enemy right now. Wow. 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 And he's going to do what only he can do. I'm telling you, prepare your hearts. Because God is going to come in and change every one of us. He's going to break some things off. I keep seeing like a sculptor. And he's got a hammer and a chisel. And there's this rock. And he's just patiently chiseling away at his handiwork. He's just chiseling away at us. Fashioning us into his likeness and image. Come on, right there. Wow. Come on, the breath of God. I just sense deep hurts and brokenness. Father, release your healing, God. Father, release your restoration of all things, God. Wow, right there, wow. Breathe again in it, Lord. Breathe into our broken places, God, with your breath, as you did with Adam, God. You breathed into his nostrils, your very essence. Breathe in us once again, God. I just keep healing. He's healing the brokenness in our lives. Wow. Come on, let him wash over you. Let him heal you. Wow. Let him restore you. Let him make you new. Keep hearing the Lord say, today's your new day. I won't claim it. Today's your new day. Today's your new hour. Today's your new season of recompense of reward. Because God has come in to break off what the enemy's had a hold of. Come on, I see it right now. I see relationships. I don't know what all that is, but I just see broken things, and I just see the breath of the living God breathing on things. Deep wounds, deep hurts. Wow. Breathe, God. Breathe once again on us. Wow, right there, right there, right there. Heal, heal. Wow, wow. Well, be blessed today. You know, when you go out from this place, I pray that you carry something with you. I pray that you carry the presence of God, because it's going to change everything around you. It's going to change every circumstances in your life. I just want you to know how much I love you. I love you all. And I appreciate you. And you mean so much to me personally. I mean, I pray for you always. And I'm looking for God to do not just something, but I'm telling you, God's about to do some supernatural things for you and your lives today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Have a good Sunday.
Just some information. The Ministerial Association of Thief River Falls is, well, we know that the first thing that happens with God moving is prayer. And so on August 1st, there's going to be teams that go throughout the city praying for each and every home in Thief River Falls. And so I would encourage you to take a look at the information on the back table and think about being a part of that, about praying for the homes on your block. Because prayer is what makes the difference. Prayer changes everything. You know, prayer is a concept. It's a concept that God gave us, that we can change the world that we live in.